You've reached the Monetization Matrix with me, your host, Christian Hansen, your expert with insights into payment and subscription strategies, where I discuss how to help you monetize your products and services for growth.
Hello, hello. This is Christian Hansen, and you're listening to the Monetization Matrix. And in this episode, episode 5, we're going to be discussing how to increase your authorization rates in an episode titled Authorization Elevation. So I think it's pretty clear that it's impossible to stop declines. I've joked with people in the past that the only way to stop declines is just to stop taking payments. So if you want to have an authorization rate of 100%, just don't take any money. And that's the only way. But then you're not going to make any money. So that's not realistic. Since you can't stop declines, you've got to understand why they're happening. That's really where this all comes from. If you want to increase your authorization rates, you need to understand what is causing them. And then once you start to understand what's causing them, then you can start to look at techniques to increase your authorization rates and stop the declines from happening. Each improvement that you make is going to be incremental. There's no special one thing that you can do to increase auth rates. But like, let's rewind a little bit. Like, what is an authorization exactly? And I think like when you look at the basic tenets of what it is, that kind of helps you to understand how you can potentially battle it and make it better. So it kind of almost goes back to like, what is a payment? Which is at its fundamental basis is someone wants to give you money and you want to accept that money. But if you're in a card not present environment, so like an online sale, a couple of things need to happen in order for that sale to happen successfully. And even if you were in an in-person situation in retail, this would still have to happen, but there's stricter rules being enforced on card-not-present transactions than there are in a retail setting. And that's because in a card-not-present, the issuing bank doesn't necessarily know that it's you making the purchase. So what are these steps? Well, first, you have the issuer involved in a transaction. Now, the issuer is the person who issued you, or not you, but your customer, their card. So that could be a Chase credit card. That could be an Amex card. That could be Capital One. That could be a debit card. But the bank that issued the payment method is the issuing bank. Next, you have the card network. So think of the network as Visa, MasterCard. And third, you have the gateway, the payment provider, that your processor, the merchant that you're using to accept payments. So that could be a Adyen, that could be Stripe, that could be Braintree, that could be Chase, Authorize.net. So it really depends on who your payment processor is. And in order for a transaction to happen successfully, all three of these entities need to be in alignment. And actually, there's kind of like a fourth here, which is the person themselves, the person who is your customer wanting to purchase. So they want to purchase from you. The issuing bank that issued them their card will need to accept the attempt to take money out of that person's account or credit from their credit card. The card network will have to send that request to the issuing bank, which comes from the payment provider, your gateway. So your gateway has to say, yeah, this looks like a legit charge. This person looks like a real customer. If you pass that first check, so step number one really is going to happen when someone tries to buy from you, right? So step number one, they go to buy a a hat. They want to buy this hat. They want to buy a roly-poly hat. And they go to checkout from your website. They go to buy this hat for $25. And when you start to type in, or the customer starts to type in their information, it needs to pass through the payment provider's gateway. And the gateway needs to say, this looks legit, because you don't want to get a chargeback. You don't want to be wrapped up in fraud. You don't want to have to issue refunds. You want a good customer. If all of that happens successfully and it passes all of your rules, if you have any rules, hopefully you do, then it goes to the card network, Visa, MasterCard, and there are closed loop networks like Amex or Discover, but let's use Visa and MasterCard. Those are big ones. And Visa and MasterCard need to then send this payment request across the rails and then send it to the issuing bank that actually issued that card, as we discussed earlier. And then that issuing bank needs to do a couple of things. One, they need to say, yeah, you know what? This looks like a legitimate request for this $25 hat. They might not know it's a hat, but they'll know that it's a $25 charge. And then Chase, Capital One, Citibank, they need to say, yes, this customer actually has $25 available. So this gets into, you know, some of the decline reasons, but they need to make sure that you can actually afford the purchase that you're attempting as a customer. So if the issuing bank says, yes, you have $25, then they let Visa or MasterCard know that you have $25, and then Visa and MasterCard let your gateway know that you have $25, and then Adyen, Stripe, Braintree, Chase, whoever it is that is your gateway, will then get that success response code, and they will say, thank you for your purchase. And then you get your hat shipped to you, or you pick it up or whatever. So there's a couple of things that are happening here, and it can break along the way because of fraud, because of insufficient funds, because of network outages. And so let's talk about why things break down, why they don't work, and why you can, what you can do to elevate your authorization rates. I think first it's good to look at reasons why you could be declined. So there's general decline reasons that might come in, like do not honor this card, generic decline, which is super not helpful, transaction not allowed. There are literally over 100 decline reason codes. Visa has their own set of decline codes. Discover has their own decline codes. Amex has their own. Like, they all have their own decline codes. You could have insufficient funds. Customer doesn't have the $25 to buy a hat. Maybe the card number was done incorrectly, some aspect of it. Maybe the card's stolen or reported as stolen, even, and maybe maybe they thought it was stolen, but then they found their card and then they tried to make a purchase. Maybe the card's expired. Maybe the wrong CVC was entered. Maybe there was a AVS failure. So the address, the zip code maybe was wrong. Maybe there was a network error or a timeout, like maybe you're on a slow internet connection or something to that degree. So depending on some of these decline reasons, there's different things that you can do as a merchant to try to make that payment become successful. The first and the easiest thing to do is retry the card. So if it fails once, try it again. When you think about the cost, there is a cost associated with retrying a card, but, you know, retrying it once, twice, a couple of times, depending on how much the service, the product, the thing that you're selling costs, it's probably going to make a lot of sense for you as a business to retry the card, which means that you'll have to have some sort of logic to do your retries. Another thing that you can try, depending on the sophistication of your billing and payment system, is you could potentially message the customer. So message them how? Well, it depends on if this is a recurring transaction or if this is a single transaction, but you can message them in the application, in the client. Hey, please retry your card or try a different card. There are fraud aspects to this where I would recommend that you don't get too crazy in telling the customer why the card was declined, because you don't know. You don't know who this customer is. They could be a fraudster, right? They could have stolen this card, and you might not want someone who's doing card testing getting the exact reason for why this very specific payment method was declined by the issuer. So it's okay, in my opinion, to be a little bit vague here. It will protect you as a business owner, and it could protect the actual customer whose card was potentially stolen. But it will, if it's a good customer, it's going to give them a good reason to re-enter their payment method or maybe try a different payment method if they really want to buy something from you. There's also the concept in a recurring subscription model that if the payment fails, that you reach out to them via Dunning Communications, which could be performed through SMS. It could be done through email, depending on the service. And if you're on like a third party, like Google or Apple, there's usually even in-app notifications that a payment has failed. But, messaging and outreach to your customers to let them know that a payment failed, I think is paramount. Messaging them on a cadence a couple of times, I think is a great way to start. You could think of it in like, hey, it's been 2 days, it's been 3 days, it's been 5 days, it's been 10 days. So you could go up to 30. You could even go longer. You could even go longer than 30. But there are limitations to how many times you can retry. And again, every time that you retry, you have to pay for that. So be mindful of how often you're retrying it and pay attention to what the card schemes advise. Another thing to look at is your fraud settings. So are you being too strict? Are there rules that you have in place that are making it so that payments aren't being accepted? So it might not be the issuer that's the problem. It might not be the card network that's the problem. It could be the settings that you've built into your gateway. So take a look at those and see if they're being triggered and see how often it's happening. Other things that you can start to think about for decline codes that I think start to get into a little bit more sophistication and are more interesting are things like utilizing an account updater. So if you're on a subscription business and a payment fails, well, you have the option to go and try to get an updated payment token. So has the card that originally came in 6 months ago, a year ago, maybe it expired. Well, account updater will update that payment method for you. You have to pay for it, by the way. Nothing's free, but it's a small price to pay so that way you can get your transaction to go through. Another thing to think about is enabling network tokens if your gateway supports that. So these are trusted tokens issued by Visa or MasterCard. And if you use a network token and something happens to that payment method, there's a higher chance of success. But again, you're paying for that every single time you use a network token. You don't get them for free. But if you're going to lose a customer, I would say it's a lot cheaper to pay for a account updater or to pay for the use of a network token than to lose that customer. Another thing to think about is, and I was kind of alluding to this with the retries, is to create a retry schedule. So what is a retry schedule? It is first creating some sort of grace period. So giving your customers some grace, giving them some time to make a payment. And during this period, figuring out the best times of the night, of the day, of the week, of the month, when you can collect funds from customers where the payment has failed. That will increase your authorization rates because now you have the optimal time frame for when customers have funds available, and you will not lose your customers. You might consider some other things too, like digital wallets. So what kind of payment methods are you offering to your customers? Apple Pay, Google Pay, these are using biometrics, depending on the device type. And you might see higher authorization rates with these. And, you know, if you look at something like PayPal, there might be a variety of payment methods behind that digital wallet. So the PayPal might have a credit card attached, a debit card attached, a bank account attached, it might have funds attached to it, right? So when you go to charge initially a PayPal account, if you're allowing that as a payment method for your service, you may have success in a higher probability of authorization than if you only accepted, let's say, debit cards, where the amount of funds on a debit card are finite. It's whatever is actually in that person's bank account versus like a credit card where there's credit involved, but it could be maxed out. So think about the variety of payment instruments that you support as a business. And then there's a couple, I would say, last kind of tangential things to be mindful of. One is collecting a reasonable amount of information and making sure that that is included in the checkout process. So do you use a zip code? Well, there is a service called an AVS check. So address verification service. And you can, again, this kind of goes back to the fraud rules. You can choose to use AVS as a parameter that you check. So have that flag turned on or off. See if that helps you to increase or decrease your authorization rates. By sending more information to the issuing bank, it makes them understand that you have more facts about this customer, and it can potentially help to increase their propensity to allow a transaction to go through. That includes making sure you are supporting the CVV. I mean, there, if you want to be more on the risk side, you could say, hey, I don't care about ZIP. I don't care about CVV. But you're now implementing a little bit of extra risk into your payment process. But again, that's up to you as a merchant, as a business owner, in terms of how much risk, what's your appetite for risk, because you have to balance that against your authorization rates. So I hope that this was helpful, at least in understanding why things might fail. I hope that this kind of gave you some insights into ways that you can kind of set up your systems and set up your billing and your payments and your fraud tools to increase authorization rates. So I bid you adieu. If you have any questions, comments, feedbacks, if you'd like to be on the show, please reach out, Christian@paymentsforpayments.com. And thank you for tuning in to the Monetization Matrix.
Remember to hit that subscribe button and tell all your nerdy friends.